keeps the play alive.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Long throw across the field.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chris Jenkins Jr., want to chime in on the conversation that J.J. McCarthy might not be top five worthy?
I don't know if he's saying that. Respectfully, they're tripping because he's obviously 100% a top five quarterback.
Earlier on the show, Colts general manager Chris Ballard, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, actor and host Dulé Hill. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Indeed, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Lots to talk about and draft intrigue here 6 days before the National Football League draft next Tuesday after our show. We are hopping a flight to Detroit and doing 3 hours every day, 3 days, 9 hours from the draft, and it's our residency in the Motor City. I'll be doing the show with the rest of you guys there, and then NFL Network's draft coverage Thursday night, first round Friday night, second and third rounds all day Saturday, and then we'll be back here to, I guess, one week from Monday to sift through all the picks and see how it all goes down. Chris Ballard, the general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, hour number one, a great chat with him. He basically said his board won't be set till the night before the draft, and that's the way it goes in the NFL, and anybody who says otherwise is full of it. He also said that, general managers already reach out to one another and have conversations about trades in advance, hypothetically, if this person is you're on the clock and our guy is still available, we might call you up for this sort of thing, that sort of thing. He said he's already reached out to general managers and had these hypothetical trades and put them in place to see if you just need to pull the lever on it when it's time. If you missed any of the rest of the conversation, he was very honest about how many quarterbacks he hopes gets taken atop the draft, and Anthony Richardson update. And then also Tom Pelissero talking to a bunch of unnamed scouts and coaches and general managers and things of that nature, talking about all the quarterbacks available. Great 27-minute long conversation, I think the final tally was right there. We re-air right after this hour. We're about to play What's More Likely, a pre-draft edition of it. That'll be a lot of fun. Dulé Hill is in our green room right now. The actor, very well known for his time on the West Wing, a little bit of Ballers, played the Dolphins general manager back in the day on the world famous Suits program as well. He's coming in advance of hosting a new PBS show called The Expressway with Dulé Hill. We'll explain about all that when he joins us in studio right here in just a matter of moments. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Interesting, again, the reverberations of the Washington Commanders having 22 prospects in all at once, including all the top quarterbacks not named Caleb Williams. You see, hear what Adam Schefter had to say on the Worldwide Leader? He is slated to be our first guest in Detroit next week.
Nice.
He said that Jaden Daniels showed up to this thinking it was just going to be him.
What? No.
No way. Really?
He said that Jaden Daniels appeared to think it was just going to be the two of them.
All right. If I'm Jaden Daniels now, no way I play for Washington.
His agent, Ron Butler, had what's the emoji of them with the hand? Is it
just like the
He retweeted a video of Florio and Chris Sims talking about how this is just a weird way to bring all the prospects together. Like, why would you dilute your time with four top prospects by bringing them all together?
Oh, man.
And Ron Butler retweeted it with a,
Interesting.
Wow.
And then Schefter on GetUp today, it said, essentially, it looks like Daniels thought it was just going to be him.
So they told these guys individually, hey, come to this thing, and then they all show up like, what are you doing?
I don't know. This reporting on this, I need more of it because it's just weird getting everyone together. And that's why I said to Pelissero, I'm like, you know, you're sitting there and you're like, you know, do I want to go one-on-one with another team or do I just want to throw myself in the mosh pit with everyone else because, you know, you got to be in it to win it, as they said back in the day when those Lotto commercials would come out when I was a kid.
It's like Lotto.
You got to be in it to win it. And you want to be the second overall pick of the Washington Commanders. You don't say no to their invitation for your top 30 visit. But apparently it seems, I got to drill down deep on this, that Daniels didn't know. He just shows up. I'm like, I'm sharing a car with JJ.
Like, imagine you get into the car, right?
And all of a sudden, Drake May's like, hey.
And you're kind of
how you been?
Like, why are we not moving? And then the door pops open and JJ pops in. You're like, what the hell?
Hey, haven't seen you since the combine. What you been up to?
Hell going on?
I thought Dan Snyder sold the team and that all this like weird dysfunctional stuff was over.
Chris, it's like your agent told you that you get a final call. This show is putting you on hold. You basically have
it's
it.
You,
and you
man.
Go to the audition, and then those guys are
like four other dudes.
It's like, wait
like
a minute.
Like, wait, what? Four what are we doing? Guys?
So there's that.
Did you say four bald guys?
Yeah. There's four Vin Diesel looking dudes.
And the question is the only question is right now is how fast is Caleb Williams going to get up to speed once the games start to be played for the Chicago Bears?
Yeah,
that's basically the question.
Yeah.
And the expectation level to be set and the hype train that we're hearing, how valid will it be? And you just listen, you just got to listen to people that you trust. And Daniel Jeremiah, I trust. And I know you spend a ton of time with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask on What the Football, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. It's also on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube page. This is Daniel Jeremiah on the comp for Caleb Williams. Listen to this hybrid.
Yeah, coming out of college, to me, he's built like Russell, and he plays more similarly to Patrick, which is
wow,
the best way that I can describe it. And I think one of the things with Caleb, you know, first of all, Patrick then is not what Patrick is now. Like, Patrick sat for a year under Andy Reid with Alex Smith, and he's blossomed into the best player maybe of all time. But he played on a team with a crappy defense at Texas Tech. Every game was a shootout, and he made some wild plays in every single game. And I don't think it's difficult for them to get their mind to the fact that that's what USC was the last 2 years. But they were more like Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes level teams than they were like Matt Leinart USC
yep.
teams.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, you know, I think Caleb, in terms of, you know, refinement, I think he's a little further along than Patrick was at that point in time. There's a reason why Patrick wasn't, you know, the first quarterback and the first pick in that draft was because, okay, there was the understanding there. We got to be patient. And obviously he went to the right place to maximize his incredible talents.
Could you imagine if the way everybody's viewing Caleb Williams was the way that everyone was viewing Patrick Mahomes going into that draft in Philadelphia? How different everything would be right now. Especially even Patrick Mahomes' career.
The Bears wouldn't be in this predicament.
Well, would Patrick, again, that's the crazy part about all this. And that's why Daniel said it's important where Mahomes wound up. Mm-hmm. It's Reed moving up for him. Andy Reid being a quarterback whisperer or guru. Now he has that obvious reputation earned, but he had McNabb for a long time, as we all know. And he goes up to get him, and they don't have a pressure to start him. They have a veteran in Alex Smith and a playoff team that Alex Smith went to. Again, I will always come back to this. Let's not forget Travis Kelce at the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, prior to his brother winning his ring for the Eagles against the Patriots, was on our show the day Alex Smith was traded away to Washington, and he lamented it, saying, he's my guy, and was essentially like, you know, I hope Patrick's the guy. And now look, well, he's the guy, and they're going to the Hall of Fame together, right? But would it have happened for Mahomes if he went to the Bears? Right? Honestly.
I'm not seeing it, but
He could have. You never know. But he would have started right away, just like, you know, Trubisky.
Right.
Who, by the way,
well, it's pretty good his first year, right?
Uh-huh. Then Matt Nagy came in afterwards.
Yeah. So.
And the reason why he was brought in was because Nagy was part of the Kansas City system.
Right.
Right? And the importance is who you're drafted by.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears don't have a history of doing very well by their young quarterbacks, which is why RG3, a guest on Monday, initially said during this entire process, if I'm Caleb Williams, I want no piece of them. Well, Ryan Poles has set everything up. Everything's set up. That's Keenan Moore that we had at your pro day, sir. I mean, Keenan Allen that we had at your pro day, and DJ Moore. I just mashed them all together.
You made them one super wide receiver. Right.
I'm just wondering if Mahomes was the guy that we all thought he was. If Mahomes was the guy that we all think Caleb Williams is right now, would the Browns have taken him first overall instead of Myles Garrett? And the Bears would have had Myles Garrett? Or actually would have been the Niners had Myles Garrett, because don't forget, they traded down.
Well, truth
swapped
told,
spots with the Bears.
I thought the Browns were going to take Deshaun Watson coming off that net.
Well, we all thought that's who, we certainly on that draft set all thought that's who, Andy Reid was trading up for.
Yeah.
But then so we had it's the just Trubisky a monkey wrench.
It's a fascinating conversation that, you know, that's why he said it's important that where Mahomes was drafted. It's important where you are drafted. It really is. Which is why, you know, the Mannings told the Chargers, don't even look at us. They went full Nick Saban.
We ain't coming.
Quit asking.
And so again, that's and how about him saying Caleb's a combo of Russ and Mahomes?
Russ body, the way Patrick plays.
There you go. Sold. At least the Bears are. All right, it's time for What's More Likely before Dulé Hill comes out. Let's do What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, what do you have out there,
hey,
sir?
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
Good. Always great to see you.
You know what I'm looking for. We're basically just biding our time to get to the end of this, but I'm excited to hear what you've got all cooked up.
way to couch that.
No. What I'm telling you is stay tuned to the end. It's a big finish.
Maybe. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, my God.
Look, the odds have changed on this a lot. It was way Jaden Daniels would be the second pick. Now it's basically even. So who's more likely to be the second pick on Thursday? Jaden Daniels or Drake May?
Jaden Daniels. I heard it at the combine. I believe it right now. And all this kerfuffle over Daniels maybe not knowing that it was him plus 21 at the last Washington Commanders top 30 visit. Thought it was one-on-one. It turned out to be him plus 21. So I don't buy it. This thing will all get ironed out. Certainly when they draft him and they're like, welcome. That's Terry McLaurin. That's Brian Robinson Jr. That's your new offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. Welcome to Washington, D.C. That's Magic Johnson. Jaden, you want to meet Magic? There you go. Yeah, it'll all be copacetic, and you'll get Drake May in New England, and off we go to the fourth overall pick.
Just,
I believe that's where it goes.
I'm just shocked on the gambling movement on this. That's all.
Okay, what else you got?
Who's more likely to make the fourth overall selection, the Arizona Cardinals or anybody else?
I'll take Arizona Cardinals. I'm just thinking here how insanely talented Marvin Harrison Jr. is, and the Arizona Cardinals have 11 draft choices in this year's draft. I mean, what do they need? 12, 13 of them? I mean, that makes no sense to trade out, trade back, get more picks, unless you can use them, I guess, to get back up, to get somebody that you want at 5, that the Chargers would then move down a spot because somebody's moved. The Chargers don't move out. If the Cardinals move out and somebody takes a quarterback, the Chargers stay put. I just don't see Arizona moving all the way down to 11 unless they get a ton of capital in next year's draft, and you turn down Marvin Harrison Jr. for Kyler Murray after all of that?
What if it's 6 and then they can take Malik Nabers?
I guess, and maybe you get a pick in next year's draft for it.
Yeah,
I'll buy that, but just right now I'll say Arizona makes this pick, and then we'll see what happens after that. Chris.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
Okay.
It's going to be wild. All right. What's more likely to be the higher total? Teams trading into the top 10 or defensive players selected in the top 10?
I'm going to say it's even. I think one team trades into the top 10 and one guy gets chosen in the top 10.
That's not really the
question. I think it's Dallas, Turner to Atlanta, and somebody trades into the top 10. If I have to go answer the question, what's more likely? I'll say defensive players get taken. How about that?
No trades would definitely be shocking.
Well, there could be a trade, but it's within the top 10. Giants moving up.
True.
So nobody trades into the top 10, but
no
Dallas
Vikings,
turning gets taken.
No Raiders,
eight.
No Broncos. Right.
Correct. Because all the quarterbacks get taken at the top because the Giants move up, or the Giants stay at six and get their guy. So there's my answer to that.
DJ, this one's for you. What's more likely to happen first this coming NFL season, this fall? More likely to happen first.
Oh, boy.
Cowboys fans start clamoring for Bill Belichick, or Patriots fans want him back?
You're going to want him back.
I know.
Buyers or seller's remorse is what you're going to be feeling. We can't really wish upon something we've never had. So
I don't think us. But I don't think if that the Patriots struggle this year would be laid at the feet of Gerard Mayo. I think it would be laid at the feet of Bill Belichick. And as you know, a lot's been laid at the feet of Bill Belichick, as you've heard. Mm. If you read an ESPN, you saw an Apple TV.
Yeah, I watched the documentary.
All right, so
this graphic is amazing. So every guy giving the thumbs up.
I think, yeah, everybody's giving the thumbs up here. Jerry and Bill and Rob. And nice wink by Jerry. I'll go Cowboys fans clamoring.
Come on, you don't believe that, dog.
What's more likely? You really think Patriots fans are going to be like, bring Bill back? What's the scenario in which it falls apart? Because why? Because Gerard Mayo doesn't know when to call timeout, that they're suddenly look so more way more sloppy than they did and performing so poorly last year.
You think if the Pats are 0-4?
I'll go Cowboys clamoring for Belichick. What else you got over there?
If he won't
answer honestly. Okay.
Well, it's like, do you not believe me? I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what I feel.
Did he give an answer?
Don't ask. Yeah, I think
What was it? What's your answer?
Not the Dallas Cowboys, Rich. I said the Patriots. No. Seller's remorse. They're going to miss what they had.
Okay. Chris?
Who's more likely to finish their rookie season with a higher winning percentage? Caleb Williams or Caitlin Clark?
Look at you. I'll go Caitlin Clark. How about that? So, I know the Indiana Fever drafted first overall. Did you see Tim McGraw wore her jersey?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I think it was the whole kit, too, he wore, right?
I just saw the jersey part.
It's just the jersey. I was just joking. He had his jeans on and his cowboy hat. I'll go Caitlin Clark because I don't know. I think she's at least going to be above 500. I don't know what the Bears are going to look like.
Now, the Fever won 13 games last year. They went 13-27. I'm going to say that.
So what? You don't think they improved by 7 games? If they improve by 7 games, that's 500.
Yeah, I'm saying they won 13. I think they're Bears go 10-7.
Bears go 10-7.
I'll go Caitlin Clark. We're all rent paying in her world. What else, Chris? That was a nice one. I like that one.
All right.
Although we're going to have to wait months to see who's right.
A little NBA here.
For the last couple of them. Yeah. But what else?
A little NBA here. This is for you guys. 7th seed more likely to score the first round upset. Lakers. 76ers.
Obviously. Sixers. Come on. Obviously, it's the Lakers.
What?
I guess the Nugs?
What is that?
Come on. What? Honestly, you're just like... What's more likely? The Lakers suddenly dethrone the champs with their center playing like the MVP, or the Philadelphia 76ers who get their MVP back just in time for the playoffs to not really be the 7th seed against a 2-seeded Knicks team that is banged up. Okay. What's more likely? Trust me, as much as I'd love to cape for Brunson and you know, the big ragu and everyone else. No, of course you take the Sixers in this. What's more likely? Good one, Chris. Once again, not involving your Celtics. Likely. Let's go. What's Let's give it. Likely. Give me what I want. Give me what I want. Give me what I want.
You're not going to get it.
All right, here we go. What's more likely?
Please.
The dream New England fan scenario.
Here we go.
To take Beautiful. Place.
This is great.
This is not it.
This is close.
The Celtics go 16-0 in the NBA playoffs.
There you go.
Or... the Patriots draft Marvin Harrison Jr., trade for A.J. Brown, whose new avatar is Tom Brady, and did you see the video yesterday?
Tom running.
Play the video of Tom Brady running. Brady comes back, and the Super Bowl's back on!
Yeah?
A.J. Brown, Marvin Harrison, Ramondre, the great defense, TB12 back. You want to know why he's back?
Yeah.
Bill is gone.
Oh,
Bill is
it.
Gone. Robert Kraft brings his favorite son home. Look at Tom running. Look how beautiful this man looks. There's not an ounce of fat on this guy. Just running 40s up and down the beach in Miami. Look at this dude.
Okay. Okay.
Patriots go 17-0, and we're back in the Super Bowl.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
At three.
Marvin, hold on a second. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a Cardinal.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown is an Eagle.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is a Fox analyst.
Yeah.
I'd take the Celtics going 16-0. So you're finally putting it out there, huh? You're finally putting it out there.
You see how he did
it?
I just asked
you guys. You're finally putting it out there.
What was more likely?
What's more likely?
It's so ridiculous that it couldn't possibly happen.
That the Celtics.
Up against A.J. Brown being a Patriot.
A.J. Brown wants to be a Patriot.
A.J. Brown.
Are you guys crazy?
Yeah, that's great. The Eagles will keep him as an Eagle. They will also watch Marvin Harrison Jr. become something other than a Patriot. Probably a Cardinal or a Charger. Those are the 50-50 coin flip.
Tom Brady said he'd take the call if the Pats bring them up.
That's out of respect, though.
Okay.
Bill is gone.
Okay.
Tom wants to come home.
Great. But you finally said it, though.
I said it.
Celtics are going 16-0.
No, I didn't say that.
That's not all of what his prediction was.
I asked you what was more likely.
What was the rest of his prediction?
One day he'll say there's more to it than just that, by the way.
Oh, in mid-June, I will tell you what I've...
Yeah, it's more outrageous than what you just said.
It is not outrageous.
It's
preposterous. That was What's More Likely presented by T. Rowe Price. When you invest directly with T. Rowe Price, you get an experienced partner who empowers you to invest your way so you can meet your financial goals. Visit TRowePrice.com to start your personal investment journey. Let's take a break and back with Dule Hill in studio in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Dule Hill here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned. We just showed a clip of PBS's The Expressway with Dule Hill here on the Rich Eisen Show. New four-part series. New episodes air Tuesday through May 14th on PBS, which we all get. And it's a pleasure seeing you here. So what did you find on going to places like, we just saw a clip from San Francisco, Appalachia is another place you went to, Texas, and the city of Chicago, just exploring the arts world in each place. What did you learn?
I learned that, like, we don't all need to be Dwayne Johnson or George Clooney or Angelina Jolie, someone with this huge footprint to make a difference. If we really tap into our individual expressions, that thing that's burning inside of us to let itself out, if we give it space, it really can make a profound difference on our world, on our community, on our neighbors, and even on ourselves. I mean, I went to Appalachia and met a luthier who is teaching recovering addicts how to make stringed instruments, and those aren't really things you would put together.
Yes.
I meet a blind painter down in Texas. I meet a deaf dancer here in Los Angeles. I meet incarcerated playwrights out there in Chicago. It was a truly inspiring journey for me that I think will be inspiring for the viewers as well. I got to tell you, Rich.
Yes, sir.
So this whole thing started because somebody who I know by the name of Chris Howard and his partner Josh Jacob came to me and my wife Jasmine Simon with the idea. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we connected with Danny Lee, who was the director of this piece. And that's how it all came together.
Mm-hmm.
But I said the name Chris Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would have ring a bell in your ear, but maybe you don't have context.
Well, I mean, what's the context of...
Well, with you, I do know that you went to the University of Michigan.
Yes.
And I do know that Michigan recently, you know, was there in the national championship.
Yes, won it all.
Yes, and I do know it's been a long time since they've won it before.
Yes, it's been a long time since they won it before.
Chris Howard is that Chris Howard?
Of the University of Michigan football program.
Yes, is that Chris Howard?
Who played with Charles Woodson and the rest of the group.
That's
Tom Brady. And
that's right.
That Chris Howard. My first thought was like, wait a minute, what class did I go with him?
You know?
Huh.
Yeah.
So, well, tell him go blue. Tell him I said hi.
That's right. This is his idea. Like, the nugget of it is his idea. That's how this whole thing started coming together.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? The original idea was, why do we dance? You know, and I'm a tap dancer. So he knew that I'm passionate about that. And as we connected with Danny Lee, Danny had the idea of widening the lens to really tap into all forms of expression. And that's when we feel like we really struck gold at that point.
Interesting. Cool.
You see, there's points of connection.
I assume, did you and Chris talk about the 1989 NCAA men's basketball tournament final between Michigan and Seton Hall? Or you didn't talk about that sort of stuff?
Well, no. I mean, probably over the years. I've known Chris a long time, so probably over the years we have. I probably more would have talked to Pookie Wigginton, though, who is Leland Wigginton.
Okay.
Pookie used to played for the Pirates.
When did you go to Seton Hall?
I went to Seton Hall in 93.
So it was a few years after that.
But you know, that's why I went to Seton Hall, though, really. Because my grandmother used to live right down the street on Ward Place.
Uh-huh.
So growing up, you know, I was younger and they were going to the finals and this and that.
Sure.
And then actually, the year before I went, Terry DeHare got to the Sweet 16 that year. And then when I came, it just didn't
poof. And no, thus you became an actor.
And I'm not saying anything wrong. You know, it's not because of you, Adrian Griffin. It's not because of you. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. Terry DeHare. You know, that's a name I have not heard in a minute.
Yeah.
How did you get into acting?
I've gotten to acting by going to dance school when I was a kid.
Okay.
And then at the age of 9, a show called The Tap Dance Kid came looking for kids who could sing and dance.
I remember that.
I auditioned, and the next thing I know, I understudied Savion Glover on Broadway, and then I did the lead role on the national tour.
No kidding.
And actually,
was that Gregory Hines?
No, that was a Hit and Battle who actually recently passed away.
Pardon me for mixing that one up. But
yeah, I mean, both dynamic triple threats, and both were my heroes. And my inspirations for being an actor, singer, and dancer. But it's funny because then years later, I was at Seton Hall, you know, and then Savion was doing a show and he needed one more dancer. So he reached out to me. And he said, what you doing? I said, man, I'm over here in Jersey, you know, trying to get my degree.
Right.
He said, come through. I'm doing a show called Bring Noise, Bring the Funk. I need one more dancer. And I auditioned.
And then you got it.
And then there I was, you know, doing Bring the Noise. And then at that point, though, it started to really, I need to really decide whether I want to pursue the arts or pursue my business finance degree. And I decided to pursue the arts. But I loved going to Seton Hall when I was there. Had a great time. Met a lot of wonderful friends. You know, I said it before, but I got to give a shout out to Adrian Griffin. He was one of my classmates there during the time. He's obviously gone off and done quite well for himself.
Yeah, and so Dulé Hill here on the Rich Eisen Show. How did you wind up on the West Wing radar?
Well,
how did that happen?
After I left Noise Funk, I came to L.A.
Yes.
Trying to create space for myself. I did do one movie named She's All That.
I've heard of that.
You know, and then about a year or so went by and I didn't work and my money was getting really low. And I said to my friend Freddie Prinze Jr., I said, Freddie, if I don't get a job in these next few months, I'm either coming to live with you or I'm going back home to New Jersey. Thankfully, though, during that time, a casting director had remembered me from an audition a year before, and a role came up. He said, I know the perfect actor for this. He searched me out because I had just been dropped by my agent and was at a new agency.
Mm-hmm.
He searched me out and called me in. His name was Kevin Scott, and the role that he called me in for was Charlie Young on The West Wing. I read for Aaron Sorkin and Tommy Schlamme. Once, and then I got called back and I read for Aaron Sorkin, Tommy Schlamme, and John Wells. And next thing I know, I was on this soundstage with Martin Sheen and Rob Lowe walking around. I was like, this is insane. Because then a few months later, you know, the show came out and it was a hit.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were invited to DC. So I'm next thing I know, I'm here seeing the president of the United States and Martin Sheen's right there and Rob Lowe and there goes Ted Kennedy. And it's like, this is just like 4 months ago, I was just about broke. And now here I am. Actually, that first season too, we actually filmed on Pennsylvania Avenue. We filmed a basket with Juwan Howard.
Because he was probably playing for the Wizards at the time.
He was playing for the Wizards at the time. And we wrote him into the show where he was a Secret Service man. And he was like,
I missed that episode.
Yeah. Yep.
Damn.
So, I mean, it was so surreal for me just to be able to, how quickly things can change to soon, like almost having to go back home or moving with Freddie to now being on Pennsylvania Avenue and playing basketball with Juwan Howard. Yeah. It's pretty.
And
pretty
then
surreal.
Being on a set with Martin Sheen.
Exactly.
I mean, you were still, you know, early enough in your career, I imagine. Did you pick his brain about anything? Or what was it with Martin Sheen on a
Martin
set of the
really
West Wing?
Martin taught me how to honor the moment and honor the gift that you have, honor the experience that you have, mm-hmm. to make sure that everyone is seen and that everyone matters, which really kind of resonates going back to the expressway, because that still is something that rings true inside of me.
Yes.
Of we all have a gift, we all have purpose, and we all come together to make a difference. And Martin would not let anyone be disrespected on our set. He would not, even if we were out there filming in public, he made sure he spent time with everyone and really engaged with everyone who wanted to have a connection with him, because everyone and everything matters. And that really stayed with me throughout the course of my journey so far.
Dule Hill here on The Rich Eisen Show. The Expressway you just mentioned with you on PBS. Check it out every Tuesday, 4-part series. Ballers, who were some of the cameos that when you were on the set there, any sports stars that you were
Oh my gosh.
Pretty much. Well, you mentioned Dwayne Johnson, so I imagine.
Yeah, there were a whole bunch. But here's the thing, like my storyline, I didn't interact with a lot of those cats.
Yeah.
You know, so that's you pulled that one out on me. I had to have done my research. The main thing I was focused on was Jasmine Simon, who played Julie Green. Mm-hmm. You know,
I got
Julie
you.
Green. She ended up becoming my wife. So you know, and also my co-producer on this project. So I mean, it's like
that's where
my focus was.
You were
at.
The ultimate baller.
I was the ultimate baller. Yes, I have won at the balling. Yes, I have.
He was laser focused.
You see what I'm saying?
He took the expressway, everybody.
I took the expressway, right? That's right. That's it. I know what I'm trying to do.
Fantastic. The cameo happened to be two children, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right?
Okay. You know, I'm going to give you one more connection.
Sure.
Because I was in the room waiting to come out here, and I saw that you got your master's from Northwestern.
Yes, sir.
My daughter, Kennedy Hill. Where does she go?
Northwestern.
Yep. She plays volleyball there.
Great. Awesome.
That's
it's
right.
A great spot. It really is a great spot.
A magnificent school.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're staying connected, Rich. That's how we're doing it, man.
Okay, very good.
You see?
And are you surprised at how Suits got a third wind, a fourth wind, a 19th
yes.
wind? I mean, did somebody basically like call you up this past summer and say, you have no idea what the hell's going on right now?
I don't even know how I found out about it. I mean,
a residual check?
You know what I mean?
No, I don't know.
I might have been sitting back, you know, having a drink with Aaron Korsh or having a cigar with Aaron Korsh, who's the creator of the show.
Yes.
And he might have been the one telling me. He might have gotten the big residual check, being that.
I hear you. I guess I should know that for this, the way that the business goes. But does it surprise you? Like, what?
It did surprise me. I mean, the Netflix effect was. I mean, it was phenomenal how that happened. I think it was just the right place in the right time in the right project. But I had no idea that the show would find that wind like that again. It's really, it blew my mind away. And they just kept going and going and going and going. And the fan base has gotten that much bigger ever since last summer.
Right.
People come up to me all the time talking about Alex Williams. And really, I was on the last three seasons of the show.
Right.
So,
any thoughts about doing more? Because of the insane success of what we just saw?
I know they're doing a spinoff.
Right.
They're doing a spinoff, Suits LA, which they're doing the pilot right now. And I'm fairly confident probably will be coming to NBC this fall.
Right.
Why not? That's my thought. Not that I have anything to do with it, and not that I run a network or anything, but that's would be my thought. But I think that's the main thing that's going to happen right now, and then they'll go from there. I'm sure you probably will see the characters show up here and there throughout the seasons.
Will you be involved in this?
I mean, you know, if Aaron writes it, Aaron, you gonna write me a role?
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
It's so rare. I mean, yeah, it is a Netflix. I don't know if it's a royal you know, family thing too, that that might be just a whole group of people that are just tuning in to see,
you know,
what Meghan Markle was.
I mean, who knows,
viewers or something like that.
Who knows when lightning strikes in a bottle? Why it happens? I think more because it's a really well done procedural. It's very dynamic. The stakes are high. There's people really being really slick and really cool and really strong. Both men and women are very powerful and own themselves. And I think that is attractive to folks. And you don't need to necessarily watch every episode to know what's going on. So I think that it was just the right place and the right time. Netflix brought it onto their platform. And all these other streaming platforms are popping up. But really, Netflix still has, I think, the lion's share of viewers.
I just maybe think it would be more popular if there was more innuendo on the program. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know what I mean?
Just there's, you know, I don't know if there's enough.
There's not enough innuendo on Suits. Not enough.
Oh my goodness gracious!
I think Charles Barkley was on Suits though. He came through.
I must have missed that one too.
You see what I'm saying?
Were you on the set when he came through? Or no,
I was not. I wasn't even a part of the cast at that point.
Okay,
I was not. But I do know he came through.
Well,
yeah, everyone kept talking about it, even when I got there.
What do you get the most of when people see you?
I think I probably still get the most of Psych. Yeah, the Psych fan base is really huge and really wonderful. And I'm always, and a similar thing with streaming, I'm really impressed with how the fan base has grown.
We did eight seasons,
but we left the air in 2013 or 2014.
Yeah.
We did three movies since then. But you would think that a decade later, the show would kind of wane off, but the fan base is there and I love it. I love how they're so passionate, and people who grew up watching the show now have their children watching the show and they love the show. So it's multi-generational. It's a magnificent thing.
I don't know how many children are watching Suits though.
You know what I mean? Like, or so Ballers. Or Ballers. Yeah, no. Definitely not Ballers.
Well, it's fun for the whole family to watch The Expressway with Dulé Hill on PBS. New episodes air Tuesday through May 14th, that four-part series. It's a pleasure to have you on here, and come back anytime you want to promote anything you got going on.
Honored to be here. Appreciate that.
Right back at you. Everybody check out, again, The Expressway with Dulé Hill on Instagram at Dulé Hill to check out this man's social media whereabouts and doings. We're back to wrap up the show and take you to the rest of your weekend in a moment right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
All right.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
I've got my residuals, and if you don't mind, I'd like to crow about my career. Please. Through my residual checks to you sitting right here. I've got four envelopes. Which one through four? You choose. Which one do you think?
Let's pick number two first.
Number two first. Yeah. Here we go. Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah. What's the oldest residual checks that you have?
Probably from like Knott's Landing and Matlock, stuff like
Come
that.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I get them for like 13 cents all the time. Yeah, from Matlock.
From Matlock and Knott's Landing.
It's like
Landing.
One scene or something in the early 80s.
Okay. Yeah, right. Well, this one is from, let's see, right here. This one is from CSI Miami Caged.
Nice.
I can't believe, this is insane, Billy. This is nuts,
Chris.
Is
this a real one?
This is a real one. From Syndication. $153.
Whoa! Wow, nice job. Nice job.
This is a record, Billy.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
I got to open these up more in front of you.
I'm telling you. You can actually afford to send this one in to be cash.
Sir, usually there must be a decimal point off. It's usually $1.53.
Wow.
Oh, I know, right?
What's Caruso making if I'm making
$153?
Exactly. Here we go. Billy Bob Thornton, you're my good luck charm, man.
I got a bad feeling about this one.
This is for CSI Miami Deep Freeze.
Oh, Deep Freeze.
Okay, the other episode, Caged, was for $153. Deep Freeze, appropriately named, $3.09, everybody.
There you go. And how ironic that your name is Rich.
Yes. Knott's Landing, huh? That's the oldest one you got?
Yeah, I was like a friendly rancher or something on there. I had my scene with with Ted Shackelford. That's right.
You were officially called a Timberman.
The Timberman?
Yeah, you were a Timberman.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
On Matlock, you were a pawn shop clerk.
Yeah, pawn shop clerk. I remember that one. Yeah.
Man, I love all of the Billy Bob Thornton appearances here on the program. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. John in San Diego has been hanging on for quite some time. What's up, John?
Sincere greetings and salutations.
Thank you, sir.
Rich, Chris, Mikey, and TJ, TJIF.
Hey, brother.
The reason I was calling was you were talking a few weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, about a new bit you were thinking about. You were going to call it with the utmost respect, kind of like over-exaggeration or not, or kind of
The higher register. Sure. Yeah. With all due respect.
I made up my own little bit of
what do you got?
I'd like to do.
Okay.
And drum roll, please.
Oh, I don't know. Hold on a minute. Let's see. Do you got the timpani right there? Okay. Thank you, John. There we go. And here it is. What do you got?
With the utmost respect, Mr. Kraft, it takes a certain sort of thankless, vindictive human being to trash and torpedo another man's dreams, one who toiled for you for over 24 years. Won 17 AFC East Division championships, won 6 out of 9 Super Bowl appearances, and pretty much single-handedly took your Patriot franchise that you bought in 1994 for $172 million, and now your franchise is worth today over $7 billion. And, sir, if that's not bad enough, already after you already humiliated a defensive genius, once again, you kick a man when he's already down and out, spouting about trust. Talk about chutzpah. Considering prior accusations against you for soliciting hookers.
Hold on a minute, John. Appreciate that. John in San Diego here. I was another time, John. Listen, when it comes to this story, okay, when it comes to this story here, I go back and forth about how if Arthur Blank is calling up Robert Kraft and saying, I'm thinking of hiring Belichick, what happened? What can you tell me? Does he not give him his unvarnished opinion? Right? Does he basically say, oh, you should hire him, go for it? When things went down and Arthur is potentially asking you point blank, if you will, no pun intended, what happened? Because you want him hired so you don't pay him the full money? And by the way, you know, I know disrespect, all that sort of stuff that John just was ascribing to Kraft. If he's paying him $25 million a year, that is...
Wouldn't you like that to be 10?
No, but what I'm saying, if he's paying him $25 million a year, that's the ultimate sign of respect, don't you think? Now, everything else that's happened with the Apple TV documentary and all the other stuff, I can't ascribe to. I'm not in these phone conversations. But at the end of the day, you know, and he's a fellow owner is asking him, and apparently they're very tight, what happened? What did he not tell him the full deal? And I know that you like to have the warm and fuzzies with your head coach. You're not going to get that with him. Is that wrong to do? Again, if that, I'm just putting it in just that box right now. Because then Blank calls up Kraft and goes, did you tell me otherwise? You didn't tell me this stuff because you wanted me to pay your offset to this guy? I mean, it's kind of crazy that everyone just like Kraft totally kneecapped Belichick.
Hasn't been a good few months for the Kraft.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to put myself in everybody's shoes here.
Yeah.
And Bill.
Yeah, there's only 31 of them, right? 31.
I mean, one of the theories that I've heard is that, look, Robert watched Tom go somewhere else and be really successful.
Yeah.
And if Bill were to do the exact same thing. What if Bill went to Atlanta and they won a Super Bowl in 2 years?
I know.
Now you let both guys go? That makes, you know, some pretty big
eggs. But why can't things be just fine with Gerard Mayo?
Things can be.
I know that. But, so like, just everyone
you watch the two all-time greats and the pillars of the franchise the last 20 years go elsewhere.
But
and
all
win
things
Super Bowls?
Go. All things come to an end, pretty much.
Yeah, but they don't go somewhere else and win again.
Unless they're Peyton Manning. I mean, that's the way it most always ends up.
Broncos didn't win a Super Bowl because of Peyton Manning.
It's the way it most always ends up. Is somebody goes somewhere else to finish up.
Yeah, but these guys don't think like that.
I guess so. I don't know, man.
That could explain why the Cowboys didn't hire Jerry. These owners talk. There's only...
I don't know, man.
Like I said, they're a very small group. Yeah. They're very chatty. I would imagine they all share info.
It's just, all I know is this. At some point, hopefully we all live long enough to see it, Belichick's going to wear a red jacket, and he's going to be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, and everything's going to be happily ever after. All I know is, well, that's on Jerry. That's on Jerry. That how long it took with Jimmy Johnson. Nothing was uglier in the departure of anybody departing anywhere that thought they were going to be in one spot forever than Brett Favre in Green Bay, and Favre came back.
Yeah.
And there were maybe some financial considerations involved in that, but who knows? Mm. But, you know, at any rate.
It's weird. It's all real weird.
Game Time app. Put it on your phone right now and start buying tickets to anything you want in your area. Pretty much every single event is sitting right there on the Game Time app for you to check out. Where to sit and how much it costs, because you get the views from your seat every single time you click on the seat that you want. And you also find out exactly how much the seat that you want costs with the all-in pricing feature. There's no surprise fees at checkout. Game Time's now also an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. So the time's perfect right here in April to start using Game Time by downloading the app, creating an account, and using the code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.com. For terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, and get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Hey, everybody. Just some housekeeping. Seattle fans are pissed at us.
Oh, really?
Or at least you and me. They're not.
I don't want to be lumped into this.
Thinking that we were just dredging up a whole bunch of stuff yesterday about how weird I find it that Mike McDonald, the new head coach there, just took all the photographs down that were up there of Pete and, you know, Paul Allen and
Richard Sherman.
So we got a whole bunch of stuff from Seattle fans saying, yeah, you know, way to waste your time. You're bored waiting for the draft. It's a big non-story.
And then
I heard somebody said that John Schneider, the GM, said that there is actually one spot where there's digital photographs that are going to have all those photographs that are going to be, that are going to be aired over and over and over again.
Okay.
So it's not like it's going to be completely erased.
So they're mad at us? We have
nothing to do with it. Because I'm making something up out of nothing, apparently. Right, I don't know. Right. But also, hey, you know, interestingly enough, McAfee went on his show, told a fascinating story. Pat told I was riveted throughout the entire 3-minute clip of how when Grigson and Pagano came in, when they came in, they painted over a mural of everybody, Manning and Dallas Clark and all of them.
Whoa. Did the same thing.
And you know who hated it? McAfee. The veterans there were all like, what is up with that?
Oh, interesting.
So there's all of that.
Well, some have beef with Seattle, but, you know.
Isn't it interesting, though? I'm telling a story about how Seattle people are pissed at me, and I spilled, of all things, coffee on me.
You spilled the tea
on your...
Oh, God, it's a total... It's a hellscape back here.
Was it hot?
No, it's not hot.
All right.
It's not hot. Okay. But it is... It's just it's not a specific kind of suck. It is an all-encompassing suck back here right now.
Hey, luckily it's Friday.
We really need the NFL draft to get here. Rich is spilling stuff.
Spilling coffee. Oh, yeah. It is a holy heck of a mess back here.
Other people say
if
you're bored.
We only had RJ's cookies to help sop it up.
Yeah.
We'll have an update on that coming up to finish up the show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.